If you're going to be doing a commercial, for example, for BMW, right, where people are spending a lot of money on a 7 Series and it's a luxury car, but then you hear either the TV ad or the radio ad or wherever you're listening, and that sound isn't recorded at the highest quality, like your logical mind might not pick it up. But if it sounds a little tinny or it's too much of an echo, you pick that up. And that really does build into the overall feeling of the brand in terms of quality. There was an interesting example with Nissan. They launched one of their first electric vehicles a long time ago. And when they put it out into the market, they found that people felt that maybe it was a little flimsy. It didn't feel quite right. Like, was it well made? Leaf? Yeah, it was the Leaf. That's exactly what it was. That's right. And, so obviously they went and they fixed the upholstery and they started making things a little more high quality. And consumers were still saying, I don't know what it is. There's something about this just doesn't feel like a quality vehicle. And what they did was they changed the audio. So they threw the speakers in the car. When you start it up, it would make a fake sound of the car starting up. And all of a sudden people were like, ah, now it feels like a car.
Welcome to Audio Branding, the hidden gem of marketing. Sound plays a more important role in human behavior and our decision-making than you may realize. In this podcast, I'll help you understand the art and science of sound so you can better influence others in business and your life. I'm your host, Jody Krangle. Let's delve a little deeper. Here's the first part of my conversation with Darren Barino. My next guest is an art director at heart and an ECD level creative with over 20 years experience working all across the globe. He's led teams at some of the world's top agencies, TBWA, DDB, and Saatchi & Saatchi, and has won multiple awards for his work. He launched Inkfish, a boutique agency in New York built to help smaller challenger brands take on the big guys with sharper strategy, more disruptive creative, and budgets that go into the work, not the overheads. He's endlessly curious about what persuades the human mind, loves ideas that actually land, and believes the best work comes from collaboration, clarity, and a healthy sense of humor. His name is Darren Barino, and we're going to discuss how companies can shake things up using sound, the difference between clever and persuasive, and how to stay relevant in a constantly changing ad world, especially in the age of AI. Stay tuned for a masterclass in being different. As always, if you have questions for my guest, you're welcome to reach out through the links in the show notes. If you have questions for me, visit audiobrandingpodcast.com, where you'll find a lot of ways to get in touch. Plus, subscribing to the newsletter will let you know when the new podcasts are available, along with other interesting bits of audio-related news. And if you're getting some value from listening, the best ways to show your support are to share this podcast with a friend and leave an honest review. Both those things really help, and I'd love to feature your review on future podcasts. You can leave one either in written or in voice format from the podcast's main page. I would so appreciate that. And now, here's my conversation with Darren Barino. Well, thank you so much for joining me, Darren. I know that you're a busy guy. You have a lot going on.
Yeah, there's a lot of things to do.
I appreciate being here. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much for having me.
It's a pleasure. One of the things that I like to start off with is asking you if you have an early memory of how sound moved you.
Well, that's a really good question. You know, I would say probably the first time I felt it. You know, I grew up in South Africa in Johannesburg, and it's a little bit tough there for, you know, people trying to keep a business together. So my dad's business was always 24 hours a day at a construction company, which meant every weekend we were working, we were helping him out with everything. But I did know that when I heard the sound of the Universal Pictures trumpets playing at the beginning of a movie, it was time for us to relax. And we kind of earned a little bit of time off. So there's that sort of nostalgic feeling of like, you know, you've made it home in time, because this is obviously a time before content on demand. So you'd made it home, you'd finished everything you wanted to do, and you could sort of relax with a little bit of popcorn and maybe watch a movie and just take it easy. So that was probably the first time. I'm sure there were ones before that I can't remember, but that one really does jump to mind.
Yeah. Well, I guess it would kind of allow you to time travel back to those times of comfort, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. It's a very
awestruck kind of sound to those trumpets, like the intro to all of the intros to the movie production company sounds, even the roar of the lion, right? Like, I remember a lot of those. That was MGM, right? I'm pretty sure.
Absolutely. Yeah, MGM. It's so interesting.
Yeah, I guess that's a audio brand all in of itself, right? So
very much so. I mean, I'm sure you've done it too. You sort of like, if I hear something like Airwolf or the A-Team, it really does transport me back to that time. And there's a sort of feeling of adventure with that, you know. I guess one of the strongest branding mnemonics of recent days is the Netflix one, right?
Oh, yeah.
That the dumb sound, it really lets you know it's time to engage yourself in a story.
Yeah, definitely. The movies are really, really good at that. 007, the James Bond movies, those have a very distinct audio brand to them.
Very much so.
From day one, really. And even if a famous person writes a song for the beginning of the whatever it is or in the movie, it all has that James Bond feel to it. Yeah. It's really interesting how they pull that off.
It feels like it's become a little bit of an art these days. You know, if you think of like Westworld, it's got a certain sound, or you think of Dexter, it's got a certain sound, or Breaking Bad. And it really does encompass that. And it would be almost weird to have known those stories and then to if you had to change that intro in the beginning, it wouldn't feel like it fit. So you really do absorb it on an emotional level, you know, as much as the visuals and the storytelling too, but you really do connect with it in a sort of subconscious way.
Yeah, it's almost like it's a character of its own.
Absolutely.
I kind of love that about the movies. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So your background is in advertising. So how did you get into advertising and where did your love of sound start? Because clearly you have one.
Yeah. I mean, it's an interesting thing. You know, I've got a good dose of ADHD and I kind of read the room pretty quickly when I can, when I'm even in a room with people, I can sort of read people's body languages. And so from a young age, I kind of learned that I needed to control those environments and sort of understand it. So it's kind of like a natural progression into advertising, which is I'm in the job of persuasion, right? I want to introduce you to a product that maybe you didn't know you wanted, maybe you don't even want it at all, and then I show it to you in a new way with a new light, and then all of a sudden you're like, maybe I do want a BMW, maybe my dog does need to have better food, whatever it is. And I think the more sort of obvious ways that people approach it is they go, let's just show the pack, let's show the price, let's make it look sexy in that way. But there are all these other more subtle approaches you can take, and sound is definitely one of those. It's the quality of the voice, of the voiceover, you know? I don't think anybody would ever be sitting around a barbecue and say, wow, did you see that latest Heineken commercial? Wow, that voiceover was really, really connected with it. That's not something people say. But it sort of hits, I mean, it would be kind of weird if they did.
Sometimes you wish they would, but no, it doesn't happen.
it's so true. And, you know, there are so many, you know, being on the advertising side of things, we sometimes will go through hundreds of voices just to try and find something, even for one campaign. I'm not even talking as the official brand voice. So it's important to find that right voice, you know, and there's all these discussions. Is it male, female, what age? How deep is the voice? Is it high pitched? Kind of depends what product you're doing, because these are all sort of cues that hit the different part of the brain. It's not your logical decision-making part of the brain. It's a slightly deeper part, which is a little more sort of subconscious that you connect with, or either you don't connect with it. You know, we've had it before with many brands where you look at the work that the competitors are doing and you'll go, wow, it's a great idea. It's a good strategy. It looks good. But that voice is so annoying. You know, you find quite a lot of it in New York, where I'm based now, that sort of, I wouldn't say nasally, but it's sort of slightly higher pitch, quite urgent talking tone, people switch off very quickly. So you need to make sure you have a brand that has got the right qualities, and then you match that with the right voice to bring that to life.
Sure. Yeah. The voice is tricky. And I will say, being a voice actor, I have really made a conscious effort to be a voice under, not a voice over, if that makes any sense.
Absolutely.
Because it's our job to enhance the brand, not talk over it. You know what I mean? Like, we're supposed to be the, ha-ha, here's the brand. Mm. Like, you know, we're supposed to, like, be the Vanna White, right?
Absolutely right.
Yeah. So it's not my job to be memorable. Honestly, it's not my job to be the one that they pay attention to. And if they do, maybe I didn't do my job right. You know,
it is such a delicate balance of everything. Mm-hmm. You know, like, every brand's got a strategy, and the consumer should never really know what your strategy is, right? They should feel all the touch points at different times and really do connect with the brand. And it's quite a difficult thing to do these days with such a polluted market. There are so many people. So if you have the right voice, it is so powerful. I've had it before. Sometimes the way we come up with ad campaigns are a little bit unconventional. Sometimes I'll start with the voice and I'll say, this is going to be our guiding light through the story, right? So maybe there's a lot going on. Maybe a client wants to talk about 5 or 6 different product benefits. Maybe there's 4 different set changes, 10 different actors, 2 different locations, whatever it is. But that narration voice is what guides you through. And it's amazing because, you know, everyone that you're talking to, they'll hold on to one piece of something, right? They might notice the visuals, but if they're holding on to that voice, that becomes almost their shepherd through the story. And it's often quite nice to start with that and get the voiceover completely perfect. And then you build the visuals around it, because naturally you want to start with the visuals. That's the fun stuff, right? We get big film crews, we get helicopters, we fly around the world and do it. But if you start with that voice, it allows you to have a very strong structure. And then you can really have a lot more fun around that once you've landed that in the right tone and cadence that's right for that brand.
Thanks for taking the time to listen. Quick question. Do you know anyone else who could benefit from hearing more about how powerful sound can be? If so, would you mind sharing this podcast with them? It would mean so much to me. Now, I'll stop interrupting and let you get back to the show.
Yeah, very true. And it's funny that I don't... Some brands do, but a lot of brands kind of miss the mark when they're looking for that kind of thing because they aren't paying as much attention to the sound as they could. There's not as many tie-ins to their brand with the sound as there is with the visuals. Part of the reason I have this podcast in the first place, and I'm sure you've come up with this, you know, up against this before, is that a lot of times as a voice actor, I was the last person called, not the first. So they'd already decided on everything visual. It was already all done. And then they were just tacking the voiceover on as a Band-Aid, like as a little bow on the present, you know, which is, I guess it can work, but
it seems to me... It's really not the best way to do it.
Yeah. It seems to me like they should be built together, that they should play off of each other, that they should have a synergy. And, you know, starting entirely with one and not paying attention to the other. And it's funny because you mentioned this before, and maybe this kind of will put it all together, I guess. But when we don't pay attention to the sound, we miss the heart of the matter. And we tend to pay attention only when the sound is bad. We notice when the sound is bad. We don't notice when it's great.
Yeah.
When it's great, it's part of the whole presentation. It's something that we just love and experience with the visuals and everything together. But when it's bad,
it really stands out.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's true. And I often wonder if it's because our brains are sort of wired for survival, right? If everything sounds normal and good and comfortable, maybe it sounds like your mother's voice, maybe it sounds like someone you've worked with before, but it's in that range of, I don't need to pay too much attention to it.
Mm-hmm.
But as soon as something is unusual or screechy or urgent, your brain clicks onto it and pays attention to it. And the problem with that is then if you're paying attention to the voice or the quality of the voice or the sound effects or the mix or whatever it is, then you're not paying attention to what I'm trying to tell you. And you're being distracted by something.
The persuasion isn't happening.
100%. And people often forget, you know, you need to plan things holistically. You need to think about the voice and everything. And often when it's left to the last minute, people forget that that voice at the very bare minimum is saying your tagline at the end or explaining what the idea is about. And that's often the most important part. So if you're leaving that to the end, I think that you're maybe being distracted by the shiny things off the path, which is what I call it. You know, we make a clear path for the campaign and the commercial. We have a plan. And if you're getting distracted by shiny things off the path, maybe you're not paying attention to the whole picture.
Yeah, so true. I'm curious whether you have experienced brands that like to stay with the same voice or if you, like me, are seeing that a lot of the brands are switching their voice every campaign and not sticking with anything for very long.
I mean, if I had my way, we would make a plan for a brand and we would stick with it for at least 10 years. But I think what happens in the bigger marketing world is you have a chief marketing officer, he joins in, and the first thing he does is he kills all of the cubs, all of the babies that happened before with someone else. So he goes, I want to do something completely different. And, you know, even 10 or 15 years ago, people would stay in a job for like a longer time. Now, every 2 years, they're switching jobs. Every time they come in, they kill everything and they start again, which I really think is not good for brands. There's so much fatigue already in the market. People are tired, they're exhausted, and they also have their phones going and their laptops and their screens and then their normal life on top of that. So I think having some consistency genuinely builds trust. And it's only through having, you know, repeat sort of interactions with a brand, whether they're talking directly to you or it's a two-way conversation, that's generally how you build trust over time. And when that's changing all the time, you really are missing a point in building that loyalty between brand and consumer.
Yeah, the comfort isn't there. I think that's part of what people get used to with audio brands. They want the comfort. They want to understand who it is they're talking to. And the longer that you stick with an audio brand, the more it gets entrenched in people's minds and you don't need to explain yourself anymore. It doesn't become noise. It becomes part of the comfort of their everyday. And it's frustrating as someone from my perspective to see that happen and change all the time, because when you understand how audio branding works, you understand that you're taking away that comfort.
And absolutely.
Yeah, it's hard for me to explain that to people sometimes. I don't think that they get it all the time. But you're totally right about the CMO deciding to throw everything out because they want to make their own mark. And, you know, I understand advertising execs want to make their own mark. I get it.
Of course. I mean, so I'm originally from South Africa, and you know, in South Africa, there's a lot of people that don't have a lot of money at all. Like they're growing their own vegetables. They built their own house with their hands. They don't have a lot. But in every single one of those homes is a radio, right? They can't afford a TV. They can't afford anything else. And so that radio is how you communicate to people. And what we do there traditionally, like I've worked quite a lot with Unilever, and you have a lot of the brands like beef stock cubes. They have a beef stock cube that they sell a lot there. It's called Knorr. And
we have that here too.
Oh, really? Okay. I didn't know that.
Yeah, we do in Canada.
The bull, which is incredible. And it's a great product, and it's very good. But the people are so have such little money in South Africa that they will buy once a month. They'll buy that Knorr stock cube, and they will use it to boil their cabbage so that it reminds them of meat. So they can't even afford meat. But what they do have is a radio in the corner of their very humble home, and that's a way you can communicate with them. And especially in that community, it's very important to keep a consistent brand, a consistent tone of voice, keep it really simple, and make it reliable. And that's how you build trust. So I guess that's probably where I learned a little bit about consistency in audio all the way across. So obviously the voice, the type of music or the type of track that you pick or compose, a score usually is what we do, and making sure that it's wrapped up with a very familiar mnemonic at the end or a jingle.
Yeah. You know, you're not the first advertising person that I have spoken to who started in radio. And it's funny that radio teaches you a lot of really interesting skills when it comes to advertising, because all of that is audio. There's no visual. So it is really very much about telling a story in audio.
Yeah.
So, yeah, there's a lot of skill to that. And it's funny because I think a lot of people don't give that enough credit, that they think the television is, or the video is, the be all and end all of where you want to end up. But radio is so much more a theater of the mind. It's so much more skill in audio.
Very much so. It's a true test of a very good copywriter. You know, when you've got all these tricks, you've got big directors, you've got $3 million to throw at it, and you've got special effects and things like that. It's easy to sort of hide a little bit as a writer. But when it is just you and your script and a recording booth, you have to make sure that your dialogue is beautiful, that it's paired right down, that it's saying the same thing, that it's achieving the strategic intent without being too obvious about it. You need to make sure it's in the right brand tone of voice, but still interesting and entertaining. And then you've got to do that within 30 seconds and still direct a voiceover artist to do that exactly how you want it. So it's a really difficult thing to get right when it's just 30 seconds that you hear in the car while you're trying to get onto the freeway.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. And the sound design that goes into that is incredible, too, because, you have to paint that picture with sound alone. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
But along those lines, what do you think the difference is between a clever idea and a persuasive one? Because I know you've mentioned this in the past.
Yeah. So, as a creative, I've been doing this for 23 years now. Especially as a junior creative or a younger creative, you kind of, you really immerse yourself in the strategy and you come up with a clever platform or an idea, a campaign idea, and you start writing all your ads for it and you put in all the clients' products, benefits and everything. And then you start to execute that and you go, yes, this is absolutely right. This is on strategy. It's got all the right pieces in it. It looks good. It's on budget. It's within the timeline. But at the end of it, it just doesn't have that thing, that persuasive feel to it, right? There's nothing that's really, it's not compelling. It's not pulling you in. It's not telling you a story. And that's often where I call it white knuckling it. You have got, you're holding on so tight onto this idea. Everything needs to be 100% perfect. The best thing you can do is literally take that idea and go sit with a voiceover artist or a weird creative or a musician and just say, here's the idea. Let's just throw some stuff around. Let's just record whatever we're doing. Let's have fun with it. There's a very famous campaign in South Africa for a car brand that did exactly that. And they ended up just making, these creatives got in the studio after having a campaign that was quite clinical and a little bit cold. And they literally got in the studio and they started making funny voices with each other. And this was off camera. They were just having fun with the idea. And they recorded it and they became these two characters, Raj 1 and Raj 2. And there were these two Indian characters that were always making fun of each other. And then that became the campaign. But it was still based off the strategy and still made sense with the tone of voice. But it was way better than anyone had sort of white-knuckled it. They just got in and had some fun with it. And then it became persuasive because it was looser. You could connect to it. There were some mistakes in there. You could hear one or two breaths. And all of a sudden, this feels real and relatable.
Yeah, that leaning into that humanity, I think, is going to be way more important than we think in the coming days.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. So have you worked on a campaign where sound was really, really important to it, just out of curiosity?
I absolutely have. So this is something that I made in conjunction with an agency called Giant Spoon. They're here in New York. They do big sort of extravagant activation type pieces and event work. This is for a brand, Vistaprint. So what Vistaprint do is they personalize gifts, right? So let's say this was a Christmas holiday campaign they wanted to do. So we came up with this great concept. So one of the beautiful things with Vistaprint is, let's say Jodie is going to get you a gift for the holidays. I would get a mug, a big coffee mug, and I'd put your face in it and I'd give it to you and you go, that's hilarious. I love it. Thank you so much. So the platform idea, the campaign for the concept for the campaign we came up with, which was called Unregiftable, right? If I gave you that mug, there's no way you could just give it to someone else for their birthday like you might be able to do with a candle because it's got your face in it, right?
True.
So Unregiftable was fun and it felt really like that's one of the most difficult things to do with a brand is to make something that is really personal to the brand that other brands can't copy. And so we built this whole campaign. It was a whole TV commercial. And then it was about halfway through, we came up with this great idea. It's like, I'm sure you've heard Nat King Cole's Unforgettable, the song Unforgettable. So we re-recorded that. We got the rights for that. We re-recorded it and changed it to Unregiftable. And it's all the way through the commercial. And it really lifted it, gave it that sort of holiday Christmas feeling to it. It was conceptual. And then the strategy was still in there, right? People know, oh, if I want to get something that is bespoke for someone that I care about, let me go to Vistaprint. So the strategy was there. We didn't reveal it too much. The tone of voice was still festive and fun. And we still get to show exactly what the product does with this great sort of emotional track to lift the mood for it.
Hello, I'm international pianist and founder of Ridley Academy, Stephen Ridley, and you are listening to the Audio Branding Podcast, a place where we celebrate the power of music. If you want to experience that power and harness it in your own life, keep listening.
Unregiftable, that's what you are. Unregiftable, from near and far. Like these things to me, nothing could be more. Oh, nothing could be more. Nothing could be more unregiftable than you.
So, yeah, there are a whole lot of ways that sound can be so important, not just to a radio commercial. I know it's super needed in a commercial that's on the radio, but when you have the visuals, the way that the sound works with it is so, it has to be interesting. I mean, it has to all work together. And yeah, it's harder than people think. And again, like we were saying, it can't be too much. It can't be out of sync. It can't be bad, because if it's bad, we'll notice it in a heartbeat.
one other small point on that, and it'll lead to a sort of case study that I've come up with.
Sure.
Is that there's all these, like I keep talking about your subconscious mind and all these feelings of things. If you're going to be doing a commercial, for example, for BMW, right, where people are spending a lot of money on a 7 Series and it's a luxury car, but then you hear either the TV ad or the radio ad or wherever you're listening, and that sound isn't recorded at the highest quality, like your logical mind might not pick it up. But if it sounds a little tinny or it's too much of an echo, you pick that up. And that really does build into the overall feeling of the brand in terms of quality. There was an interesting example with Nissan. They launched one of the first electric vehicles a long time ago. And when they put it out into the market, they found that people felt that maybe it was a little flimsy. It didn't feel quite right. Like, was it well made? Yeah, it was the Leaf. That's exactly what it was. That's right. And, you know, so obviously they went in there, fixed the upholstery, and they started making things a little more high quality. And consumers were still saying, I don't know what it is. There's something about this just doesn't feel like a quality vehicle. And what they did was they changed the audio. So they threw the speakers in the car. When you start it up, it would make a fake sound of the car starting up. And all of a sudden, people were like, ah, now it feels like a car. It was a nice, like, throaty engine sound. It had some weight to it, some good bass to it. And all of a sudden, people were like, yes, this is what was missing. So it's, again, that subconscious feeling that comes in through your ears while your eyes are looking around for those logical cues. You can really help people feel something a little deeper in terms of quality.
Yeah, definitely. You know, with that particular campaign, I think what they decided to focus on was children being lulled to sleep in the back seat were not originally being lulled by the sounds that were in the car originally. Like when it's electric, then it doesn't have the vehicle sounds that would have calmed a child that was crying if you drove around the block, right? So they had a commercial that actually showed that they now had the sounds in the car that would be good enough to lull the child to sleep when you were driving.
It's so interesting.
Yeah, it was just, it's funny how we get used to certain sounds and then we need to have them, whether or not the machine itself needs to have those sounds. Like a shutter click on our phone. Mm-hmm. It doesn't need a shutter click. There's
110%.
No, the camera doesn't need that, but it calms us. It makes us understand that this is actually operating the way that we think a camera should act.
Yeah.
and leaf blowers. Leaf blowers are loud. They're always going to be loud, because if they're not loud, we don't think they're doing their job.
It's almost impossible to change people's perception so quickly of something. You like maybe need to like slowly soften it over like a decade or something, and people will feel used to it. But if you do it too sudden, people assume something is wrong, even if it is performing better than it was before.
So true. Yeah. And there are subtle things like the crackle of a bag of chips. Like if it doesn't, even the chips themselves, if they don't crunch enough, you don't feel like they're good.
Yeah, it's absolutely true. I mean, I haven't really worked too much on Coca-Cola, but the sound of a can opening is one. I'm pretty sure it's trademarked. If it's not, it should be. That feeling, that summer, right? Shh, that opening up. The same thing with beers too. So you know, we have all these cues as to that let you know what's to come.
Snapple is like that. I don't know if you've heard the twist, the pop of the Snapple, right? Mm-hmm. Because those those jars are glass mostly, and now they're trying to get into plastic. They want to have the same opening of the jar sound on the plastic.
Oh, and wow.
Yeah, it's a whole thing. There's a lot of this that goes, it's really interesting. Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
This has been part one of our interview. I hope you'll tune in next week for part two. Well, that's the end of this episode. Thanks for listening. And if you like what you heard, why not tell a friend about this podcast? It's available in all the usual locations. Until next time.